talk given by Mr. Geoffrey Hodgson on the 1st of January 1969 during the Wellington Convention of the Theosophical Society, subject occult chemistry.
Welcome you to this session this evening. I've been asked first of all to explain the reason why all the visitors have red faces. That's because I've been sunburned at the picnic today. And the reason why the Wellington members have red ears is because of all the appreciative remarks being passed about the Wellington Lodge for the delightful setting and the wonderful picnic they arranged. Later in the evening, Mr. Hodgson and Sandra will kindly show the slides they promised us. But with Mr. Hodgson's consent and cooperation, we've just changed this evening a little bit, and some of the speakers who are going to speak on the international aspect briefly will speak tomorrow evening. We've done this because we feel that what Mr. Hodgson is prepared to say will be of very great interest to us all, as well as a valuable contribution to convention. Although Mr. Hodgson has already contributed and has been very reluctant to speak again this evening, we've prevailed upon him to give us this brief talk before the slides. Partly about the personal clairvoyant research he's made and his study of one very important subject. This concerns one aspect of occult chemistry. Dr. Besant and C.W. Leadbeater for many years carried out occult research into the structure of matter. One of their findings, more especially, has given rise to much questioning and therefore need for explanation. This is their persistent discovery and report of geometrical figures associated with every one of the elements which they examine. In association with scientists, Mr. Hodgson has carried out the same research, and interestingly, with the same result. He is, however, very loath to speak about his own inner life and what he calls minor experiences and discoveries. However, he has consented, under pressure, to speak about these geometrical figures, and I hope that he will take us with him into his experiences in this research tonight. It's therefore with very great pleasure that I ask him to speak to us on this subject.
The subject, Mr. Dunningham and brothers, is so broad, so deep, so important that I'm really very hesitant to just give a very brief comment upon it. However, I'm specially requested to do so and will do my best. Those of you who have become familiar with the research work of Dr. Besant and C.W. Leadbeater will know that amongst other investigations, they turned their attention to the structure of matter, the formation of atoms in pre-cosmic space, and the resultant effects down here in the physical world. As you've just heard from Mr. Dunningham, one of their discoveries is so very strange that it as yet cannot in any way be related to the discoveries of the physicist at the gaseous liquid and solid levels. I wasn't going to say anything much about my poor efforts in this field, but I could now say this. Every time one managed to pierce beyond the solid of an element presented for investigation and reached into its etheric double, magnified that up to molecular combinations, apparently began to be conceived and seen. In every case, similarly, a very dynamic geometrical figure presented itself. Great care was taken to avoid any kind of mental telepathy or looking at books or illustrations, but in all cases also, these figures tallied with those drawn in the book Occult Chemistry. I haven't written or spoken about this at all. I don't feel prepared to do so, but the word of our General Secretary is generally law with me, so here I am. Excuse me. As I've said then, an enigma exists. And I'm going to offer, as a suggestion only, a possible partial explanation of the geometrical figures, highly oversimplified and purely for your consideration. And our friend has kindly drawn a design at the last minute in illustration of what I propose to say. Thank you very much. Now, an active logos, as doubtless the older students amongst you know, functioning as source and emanator of universes, this being, if it is a being, is in operation at least threefold. In essence, of course, one. The eternal principle. The emanated first logos. Now, the three aspects are as follows, according to our teachings, I understand. First, the logos as source and projector of the electrical force which forms atoms in hitherto pre-cosmic space. You see the triple logos as an equilateral triangle, and from one angle at the base, a line drawn down representing projected perhaps through the planes. And as it strikes here now in our chain and on our globe at the sevenfold physical plane. That's the first thing. So the logos exists then as source and projector of electrical force, which in Tibetan is called Phohat. And this is the former of atoms in hitherto pre-cosmic space. This is the preparation of the field. Then the logos exists as fashioner or shaper of molecules and forms. This is God the conceiver and geometrician, architect, builder. The design is all conceived in the major logic mind, which is called in Sanskrit Maya. universal mind. Oh, M-A-H-A-T. My. M-A-H-A-T. Sorry. M-A-H-A-T. Universal mind. Herein, the archetype of all that is ever going to appear through all its developments, right up to the concluding highest degree of perfection attainable by the end of the Manvantara. The whole of this consists of an archetypal form or model, or as Plato calls it, divine idea at the level of the divine mind. The Logos also exists as a source of life, which we're not concerned with this evening. We are concerned with Phohat and Mahat acting in unison, as we've tried to show them there. Well, we assume then that the darkness of Pralaya has drawn to a close. All has slept. And as Genesis says, darkness broods over the face of the deep. Then, apparently, the cosmic hour strikes. And the emanated first Logos goes into action. First thing, apparently, though these may go on together, is the emanation or projection of the atom-forming electrical energy. Phohat is projected into space and substance. It penetrates gradually, in our time sense, through degrees of density of matter until the densest on our Earth is reached. The physical. What does Phohat do? It sets up spinning vortices in pre-cosmic space, or, as the secret doctrine has it, Phohat digs holes in space. These are the primordial atoms. It sets up vortices in all the planes, right down to the etheric planes of our physical, the physical ether. These gradually combine to produce the chemical elements at the gaseous, liquid, and solid levels of our physical world. Very well. Now, here is an idea. Nothing more, an idea. How is it that when this CWA beta and NFS try to examine the procedure at that point, they always see a geometrical figure? May I suggest the divine mind or Mahat also is projected in space together with Mahat. These two act in unison. And it's the divine mind with its archetypal concept which causes the formation down at the etheric level of the model of each of the physical elements. And that model is generally tends to be geometrical in form. And I suggest that what is then seen is the archetypal model as it exists at the physical level. These are formed according to logoic thought of what carbon is to be, hydrogen is to be, and so on through all the long list of the elements which up to now we have discovered. The resultant forms then in etheric matter reflect the divine idea and are geometrical. Again, as Plato puts it, God of geometry. Take, for example, a carbon atom. Where this, any carboniferous substance, whether it's, well, from a lead pencil, as was put before me, or a diamond, when the sight gradually reaches the etheric aspect of the molecules, very shortly after that, a clear octahedral form is found. Not like that, but dynamic, with funnels and force flowing out from each of the sides. A tremendously active manifestation at the physical level of the triple logos as electrical energy. So, the investigator, I suggest, observes these archetypal forms at the etheric levels, but the physicist is concerned only with the effects of Fohat at the gaseous, liquid and solid level, and so does not come into contact with the archetypal forms. That was all I had to say briefly. I will be praising you.